Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Audio Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
Ready for the word this morning? Luke chapter 12. If you will turn to Luke chapter 12, we're going to be reading from that particular text of scripture, Luke 12, and we're going to start in verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35, and the scripture will be behind me, so you can follow it there if you like as well. Some of you open your Bibles, others of you pull out your smartphone. I love technology when it works. And the rest can just follow behind me. Listen to what Jesus said. Let your waist be girded and your light and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Everyone say stewardship. A series on stewardship with a message entitled Stewardship 101. Say that with me. Stewardship 101. What are we going to talk about in this message, Stewardship 101? We're going to explore and hopefully discover together the basics of being a good steward. The basic components, the basic elements of being someone who is a good or is a faithful steward. Now, let me start by defining for you the word steward. A steward is defined as someone whose main job is to serve others or take care of people that are on a journey, such as passengers on a train, on an airplane, or on a ship. We all, if you've flown before, if you've cruised before, if you've been on a train before, you've had someone who's served you. That person was called a steward. In the parable we just read, Jesus talks about a steward who is taking care of his master's home, a steward who's taking care of his master's servants. And he said, a faithful steward will not be caught off guard if his master suddenly returns, because he will be watching for that return. Now, that word watching does not mean standing and looking, but that word watching means to be doing what the master gave you to do as you await his return. That word waichin means to be a faithful steward over what the Lord has placed into your care. A faithful steward is one when his master returns, his master finds him doing what he's supposed to be doing. In Luke 12:43, Jesus said, "Blessed is that servant or that steward whom his master will find so doing when he comes." So a steward is someone who takes care of other people. Steward is also defined as someone who takes care of someone else's money. Who takes care of someone else's property. And finally, a steward is defined as a person who's been given a job to manage the land or the properties of someone else. So what we discover is this threefold definition of a steward. One, a steward is someone who serves others. And as I share these things with you today, I want you to check your stewardship. Check your stewardship. In your mind, picture three boxes, okay? And as I go through these three things, I want you to check or not check. If you're doing it, check. If you're not doing it, don't check. A steward is someone who serves others. A steward is someone who takes care, good care, of someone else's money. And a steward is someone who properly manages the land and the property of another. One of the things that I stress to the leaders here at Restoration Church is this. Own what you are responsible for. Own it. Own the ministry that you oversee. Care for prayerfully the ministry of responsibility that you have. Watch over whatever you're responsible for in this church as though it is your own, but... Everyone say but. I always throw a but in there. Buts are good at times. But this is what I tell them. Do not own it beyond stewardship. It changes your perspective when you understand that you are responsible for something that's really not yours. Yet at the same time, you care for it as though it is your own. So own what is yours, but do not own it beyond being a faithful steward of it. Why would you say that, Pastor? I said it because we don't own anything. But we steward everything that we have. The question is, how do you steward it? How are you stewarding what God has given you to steward? That mindset is very important when it comes to the things we're personally responsible for. We must care for those things as though they belong to us while being acutely aware that they do not. Gary Jones, man, that's a beautiful truck that God has that he's given you to steward. I went out and looked there this morning. You have stewarded it very well. That's the second wife. Oh my God. We got to pray for him at the end of the service. say that again. We must care for the things that we steward as though they belong to us, while remaining acutely aware that they do not. In the scripture we read, Jesus gives a parable of two servants or two stewards, one who is faithful and one who is evil. The faithful steward is one who serves and cares for his master's goods faithfully as he awaits his master's return. Jesus said the steward who serves anticipating his master's return will open the door to his master immediately when he comes to claim what it is, what is his. The Lord said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he, the master, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. To the faithful steward, the one who faithfully cares for that which is not their own, I say to you, the master will gird himself and he will have them, the faithful stewards, sit down to eat, and the master will come and serve them. Listen, church, the time is coming when the master will come and he will serve those who have stewarded well his possessions. Jesus said, if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them being responsible stewards, blessed are those servants, or blessed are those stewards. Because good stewards are always serving regardless of the time. They're always doing what the master will have them do. We're good stewards. We're faithful stewards when we do what Jesus would have us do. We're faithful stewards when we take care of what God has made us responsible for. We're faithful stewards when we care for the things of God as he would have them cared for. We're faithful stewards, listen, when we serve our master's servants. We're faithful stewards when we take care of our master's money. We're faithful stewards when we watch over our master's land or our master's properties. A good steward, a faithful steward, understands that nothing he has belongs to him, but everything belongs to his master. So Peter asked the question. He said, Lord, do you speak this parable to us only or to all people? Very interesting question. Who are you talking to here, Jesus? Are you just speaking to us, those who follow you? Or is this for everybody? In response to Peter's question, Jesus teaches this. He teaches that being watchful and being a good steward is for everyone. But listen, there's a much deeper teaching in what he said, what he taught here. He also taught that the more you have been given to care for, the greater the responsibilities and expectations of the master become. Greater privileges means greater accountability. He teaches that those who've been given much by God to steward will suffer greater punishment for their indiscretions. Why? Because stewardship is based on ability. Stewardship is based on ability. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean is everything God has given you to steward, you have the ability to steward and steward well. Everything, whether that's little or whether that's much. God wouldn't give you something to take care of that you know you don't have the ability to do. That would make God irresponsible. He's not an irresponsible God. Some of you wonder why you don't have more. Ooh, can I tell you why you don't have more? You don't have more because you've not learned how to steward well the little. If you don't learn how to steward well the little, God's not going to give you more because it's all given based on ability. And if you don't start where you are and begin to steward well what God's given you now, listen, he's not going to give you more. That will make God irresponsible. So how are you stewarding what God has given you? Every one of us will give an account of how we stewarded the things of God. Stewardship is based on ability. What God gives to us, he knows we can steward well, listen, if we so choose. If we so choose. Why? Because God's faithful. Listen to God's expectation of us based on what he's given us. Luke 12:48. He says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. As a young believer, Luke 12:48 impacted my life so greatly when I got revelation of what God was saying. As someone who was very young in the Lord, that verse made me take a survey. I began to look at these boxes in my life, or these boxes of my life, and I began to check off those boxes based on what God had given me and based on what I was doing with them. It made me survey my life. And when I looked at my life, church, what I saw was the goodness of God all throughout it. I saw God's hand upon me and my family. I saw how the Lord had blessed me with more than what was needed. I took inventory of my life. I took inventory of God's presence in my life, how he'd guided me, how he'd led me into the life that he had for me. The Lord was faithful to speak words of prophecy to me when I needed to hear from God most. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's the faithfulness of God. And God said, to whom much is given, much is required. He was faithful to speak words of healing over me, my life, and over my wife. And when he did, he created in us an awe and in wonder of his goodness. As I surveyed my life, I could not help but wonder, what was God going to require of me? As I saw the goodness of God on my life, I said, God, what are you going to require me to do? Because you've been so good to me. And you listen, and if you do the same thing, you'll find out, you too will come to the conclusion that God's been good to you. But you got to survey your life. You got to see the God, the goodness of God upon your life. And you got to say, God, you've been good to me. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you require of me, God? God has been good to me. And I cannot help but stand in awe and reverential fear of what God will have me do for him. Please don't misunderstand me. I've not been a perfect steward. I look at my life and I see things, God, I've not stewarded this well. Lord, I've not done a good job here. Lord, I'm missing the mark here. God, I need your help here. But God knows that my heart's desire was to be a good and a faithful steward to him and over what he'd entrusted into my life. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. As you survey the things that God has made you steward over, what do you see? What do you see? How much has the Lord given you to care for? How are you taking care of the things that you steward? Each of us will give an account of our stewardship. So we must ask ourselves these questions. How can I know that I'm being a good steward? Number one, you want to know that? You want to know that, right? How can you know that you're being a good steward? And number two, what are the character traits of someone who stewards well the things that God has placed into their care? Well, Titus 1:7 offers a little insight. It says, a bishop must be blameless. So for those of you who seek to rise to a place of great responsibility in the kingdom of God, God says you must be blameless. As a steward, must be blameless as a steward of God. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. In this scripture, we learn the importance of character as it relates to stewardship. To be a good steward, you must be a man or a woman of character, because stewardship is a reflection of every aspect of your life. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. So not only must a steward, a faithful steward, be a person of character, he or she must also be trustworthy. Can God trust you? Let me give you a few more qualities of a faithful steward. From the parable we read in Luke 12, we learned this. A faithful steward knows the heart and mind of his master and is faithful in carrying that out. A faithful steward is accountable to his owner and is willing to serve others. A faithful steward is trustworthy. His master can trust him to do what is right. A faithful steward is generous and willingly shares with others. A faithful steward is responsible, obedient to his master, loyal and grateful for what he has. A person with those qualities is someone God can trust with what he's put them over. And the more God trusts us, the more God gives us to steward. So what are some of the things that we steward? Well, that's really easy. You should already know the answer. What are some of the things that we steward? What do we steward? Everything. Everything you possess, everything you have possession of, you possess as a steward, not an owner. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all his fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. God owns the earth. God owns everything that is in the earth. God owns everything that dwells on the earth, including people. It all belongs to God. I've had people tell me, I'm careful to correct them. They refer to you guys as my people. I love you, but you're not my people. Listen, and you should be glad that I understand you're not my people. You're God's people that God's placed me to care for. If you was my people, I may beat you and whip you. When you get out of line, if you're with my people, I may treat you. But listen, I understand you're not my people. You're God's people. And I've got to care for you. I would, Sister LaWanna, I wouldn't beat you. I promise you I wouldn't beat you. I said, and she cocked her head like, you would do what? I promise you I wouldn't beat you. Okay? But do you understand? You should be glad that I understand that you're not my people, but you're God's people that he's placed me to care for. That's a game changer. That's a game changer. Because I'm going to answer to God for how I cared for you. If you belong to me, all I had to answer to was myself. Do you follow? Thank you. I try to be. Pray for me. Pray for me. But it all belonged to God. Listen to David's song of praise to God in 1 Chronicles 29:14. David said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own you have given. The NLT puts it this way. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Deuteronomy 10:14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with all that is in it. God said in Psalm 50:9-12, he said, I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. They're mine. God said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. It all belongs to God. He has created all things, and to him all things belong. There is nothing on earth. Listen. Stewardship 101. There's nothing on this earth that you own. It all belongs to God. Nothing you own. You're just stewards of it. That means your money, however little or however much it is not your own. You simply steward it for God. So check this out. I'm going to show you how poorly some of you are mismanaging God's money. How much of your money does God own? 100%. Yet God said, I will let you keep 90% of what is mine. All I want you to do is bring me at least 10%. How are you stewarding God's money? Some of you think you can just get by just kind of throwing a little offering here and there. You're not being a good steward. You're not being a faithful steward. And you guys, you've been here long enough to know we don't make a big deal out of money. We don't pass offering baskets. We don't want to make a big deal out of money. But listen, I want you to understand this. You must be a faithful steward. And if you're not bringing God at least 10% of what is his, that he's given to you to care for, you're not being a good steward. God said, it all belonged to me, but guess what? I'm going to let you take 90% of it and do with it whatever you want to. 90%. All I ask of you is that you bring me the 10%. Now listen, You got to get why that 10% is so important that you give it to God. That 10% is so important because it is holy. It is holy. It is set apart for God. Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, and may I add, or of the money you earn, is the Lord's. It is holy. You want to know why some of you feel like your money is cursed? Because you're touching that which is holy. And when you touch what is holy and you do with it what God tells you not to do with it, then that other 90%, it becomes cursed. I can hear some of you thinking, but Pastor, I earned, or I worked hard to earn that money. How is it God's? It is God, because the earth and all the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. The world and all that is in it, it belongs to God. Now, I don't know what all means to you. Some of you may have a different definition of all. But to me, if God said he owns the earth and all that is in it, then that means all. That means the money I earn on my job belongs to God just as much as the money or the things that are given to me. All means all. So, the house you live in, it belongs to God. The car you drive, the truck you drive, huh? The shoes you wear, the clothes on your back belongs to God. The job you work on, God gave you that job. Listen, this is a good one. The family you lead belongs to God. And God is going to hold you responsible for how you stewarded the family he gave you to take care of. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and all that dwells on it belongs to God. The children you raise belongs to God. I love this one here. The grandchildren you spoil, or that we spoil, oops, those grandchildren, they belong to the Lord. Everything that is in your possession, everything you oversee, you do so as a steward of God. Now, I want to close by looking at a couple more things that you steward. Starting with the most personal thing about you, and that is your body. First Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Even your physical body belongs to the Lord. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, not only does your physical body belong to God, but your spirit man also belongs to God. gifts and abilities that reside in you, they belong to God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That those gifts you have, brother, the amazing ability you have to play the saxophone, that was given to you by God. Wish he'd give me that gift, but he didn't, because I probably would not have been a good steward of it. Be a faithful steward of what God has given you. And don't take it for granted, and don't think it's your own. But every time you pick up that horn, realize, God, this is your gift that you've given me. And I want to use this gift, God, to glorify you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as what? Good stewards. The gifts that we have were given by God the steward. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What Peter tells us here is we not only steward the gifts that are in us, we also steward God's grace that we received. And lastly, we steward the mysteries of God. 1 Peter 4:1 and 2 says, let a man so consider us as stewards of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again and for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched your life and impacted your life through Restoration Church, we want to hear your story. So please email us at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week. God bless.